Before we go to God's word, let's pray together. Lord, you are mighty and omnipotent, and you are wonderful. And we pray that tonight that you would take your mighty and omnipotent hands and that you would begin to work the soil of our hearts, that you would cultivate it, that you would make the soil good, so that as we hear your word tonight, that we might receive the seeds, that they might grow and produce fruit, be a great tree. We pray this in your name for your glory. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. I'm going to focus on just verses 1 and 2, but we'll read through to verse 9. It's on page 558 if you want to look for a page. Starting verse 1. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in fifth grade, our fifth grade teacher gave our class a challenge. She said, "I challenge you to memorize the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America." Well, in fifth grade, most boys are into basketball or football. Or maybe they're into playing the saxophone. But very few boys are into memorizing the Constitution of the United States. Well, I wanted to be the President of the United States. And so, of course, I raised my hand and I said, "I'll take on that challenge. I'll memorize the preamble." And so, before that time, the only thing that I'd ever memorized was John 3:16. And so this was tough for me. And so I worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And I worked on it so hard that I think in the last 17 years, I haven't looked at it once, but it's still just written on my mind. And it goes something like this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't really think about the words. I just went, "We the people of the United States, in order to form more forgiving, you just get through it as quick as you can." But recently, I've been thinking about some of these words that are in this preamble. And I wonder if we could look at some of them together. A more perfect union. Establish justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. And promote the general welfare. And secure the blessings of liberty. How are we doing with these? know, it seems the more that I read the newspaper, the more that I listen to NPR, the more I talk with people, there seems to be this general sense of disillusionment or general sense of hopelessness in our government and our leaders, that they'll be able to actually bring these things upon the earth or our country. You know, we read that there was there's allegations of human rights violations, likelihood of human rights violations in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with some of the people that are accused of being terrorists. You know, maybe we hear an NPR story that's talking about this harassment of Iraqi prisoners of war at Abu Ghraib. And one of your fellow students this week wrote in the Chimes, wrote an editorial that was questioning whether or not the U.S. is being too stingy in giving aid to the tsunami relief. And it appears that just under 60% of the population right now is largely apathetic about the performance of our president. And we just reelected him. Throughout the book of Isaiah, we get a sense that the people are largely hopeless when it comes to their leadership. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, we see there that God actually punished the people. He punished the people because of the failures of their leaders. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 9, verse 13. The people did not turn to him who struck them or seek the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, palm branch and reed in one day. Elders and dignitaries are the head, and prophets who teach lies are the tail. For those who led this people led them astray, and those who were led by them were left in confusion. That is why the Lord did not have pity on their young people or compassion on their orphans and widows. For everyone was godless and an evildoer, and every mouth spoke folly. For all this, his anger has not turned away. His hand is stretched out still. The people were disillusioned with their leaders. And in the face of more judgment to come, they had very little hope that these rulers were going to be able to do anything for them. And in verse 1 of our passage, Isaiah, he calls these rulers, these kings of Judah, calls them stumps. It was the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse, as you know, is the father of David. And David was the king, the man who was after God's own heart. And all the kings of Judah were the sons of David after him. Now, David was the ideal king. He was like this great tree that promoted justice, this great tree that protected the people, that flourished and was a symbol of the nation of Israel flourishing. And the sons of David, as they followed along in the pattern and in the knowledge of who David was, they were to be like David. They were to give guidance to the people. They were to promote justice, and they were to defend all the people. But in these days, these kings became corrupt. Their wisdom became foolishness. They promoted injustice, and they were basically pawns for other more larger nations like Assyria and Babylon. And this tree that was this ideal, these kings of Judah, of what they were supposed to be, by all appearances, was a stump. It was a tree that had been cut off, lifeless, dead. And dead was the hope that anything would ever come from it, alive or flourishing. What are some of the stumps in our world today? What are some things that look hopeless? I mean, does the peace process in Sudan or in Israel, does it look like a flourishing tree? Does it look like a stump? Does the thought of U.S. businesses going to developing nations, Does that, do we have hope that that will bring fair wages, or does that just look like the dead stump of exploitation? What about global warming? Do we have any hope that all these nations are going to be able to get together to do anything to slow down global warming? Or how about education? Do we still hope that education, if we just teach a little bit better, that that will solve all of society's problems? Or is that just another dead, gnarled up stump? What about something a little more personal, maybe more local? Calvin faculty, staff, elders of churches, or pastors. How is our hope in them? When I was in college, I had an older roommate whose name was Sam. And Sam and I, we'd spend Saturday afternoons and we'd watch Hoosier basketball games. We would stay up late some nights watching the Lawrence Welk show. No, I'm serious. We watched the Lawrence Welk show. But what we would do is we'd turn down the volume on the television and turn up the stereo and listen to Pink Floyd. It's a total trip. You got to try it sometime. In fact, last night, Sheila and I were watching Lawrence Welk show. We were playing Aphex Twin. It was really cool. But anyway. So we would stay up late. We would talk. We'd hang out and stuff. But Sam would do most of the talking, and I would do most of the listening. Because, you see, Sam's life was just an absolute mess. Sam was in his 30s. And he was rooming with college students because he'd been recently divorced. He was overweight. He moved from job to job. He was addicted to television, and all these things were just symptoms of his depression. There's some nights when Sam would get really bitter. He'd get bitter as he would start thinking about the pastor of his church. The pastor of his church counseled him and his wife before they broke up. But some of the pastor's advice led his wife to file for divorce. And so he would lay back in his chair, and he would just, under his breath, say, "Homewrecker, homewrecker." We hope in our leaders. We hope in our pastors. We hope in those who lead this world. We do because we believe that they will somehow promote life. They'll promote justice. That they'll protect us. But so often, our hope in our leaders is left just dry, broken, stump-like. In our passage, Isaiah wants to give the people good news. It says in verse 1 that a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. A shoot. New life. New life will sprout from something that was once dead. Isaiah, he gives the people hope. And he says to them that the Lord is going to pour out his Holy Spirit and anoint this great king. Where does this king come from? Where does this shoot come from? Well, it comes from a stump, but it also comes from the stump of Jesse. Now, why the stump of Jesse? Why not the stump of David? I mean, David was the one who was king. It was all the sons of David. Why isn't the stump of David? Well, Jesse was David's father, but Jesse was also just a simple shepherd. And in Jesse's day, he had no power. He had no influence. He had no significance. And the people of Israel at that time, they didn't put any hope in Jesse. They didn't have any expectations for the family of Jesse. Jesse was a stump. But it's out of that stump that a child was born named David. And the Lord chose that boy, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on him and anointed him to be king. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, take a look at it, verse 13, it says there, the Lord says to Samuel, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. This shoot from the stump of Jesse, he's not just like the sons of David, not just like these hopeless sons of David, but he will be like David. In the sense, from the same father, he's of the same makeup. He will be like David. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this king as it did on David. Verse 2 in our passage, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This one will have the same spirit as David, so that when two shepherds come to the king disputing over a well, this king will understand the situation. He'll listen. And then he'll make a decision that is just and good and satisfying. When famine comes through all of the land, the people won't be afraid. They won't fear because they know that their king has exercised power to save up grain for all of the people. And when enemies attack the borders, when war threatens, this king won't look first to his allies or look first to his chariots or horses, but he will have fear in God and will look to him for his support. And because this spirit will rest on this king, the people will find him trustworthy, and he will be a source of hope. This king, as you probably have begun to understand, is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the shoot that came from the stump of Jesse. And his name actually, Jesus Christ, Christ means anointed. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, there's a great summary of what this means. Take a look at it. The question says, why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? The answer is because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. He is our eternal King who governs us by his word and spirit and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. But maybe you ask, if the Lord has anointed Jesus, if the Lord has anointed Jesus as King, why do we still experience stumps in our world? Why do we still have little hope in our leaders? On one hand, God never intended for us to hope in them. God never intended for us to put our hope in our government that they would form a more perfect union, that they would be ultimately the ones to establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility and provide for the common defense. God intended for us to put our hope in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the King. But on the other hand, as we put our hope in Jesus, we also share in his anointing. That the same spirit that rests upon Jesus also rests upon us as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So that as we believe in Jesus, we are given the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. These gifts are ours in Jesus Christ. And so that we can do things like the Social Justice Committee on Wednesday, putting together a garage sale where we can raise money to send it to Southeast Asia. We can have wisdom and knowledge to be able to say, well, wait a minute, let's not throw all of our money towards Southeast Asia because there's 2 million refugees in Sudan who need our aid. And there's other ministries, like in downtown Grand Rapids, that needs our aid too, and we don't want to take funds away from them. The Spirit of God gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that we too can be leaders in our world. So that we can be leaders in business and in government, so that we can be pastors and elders of church and deacons. We are given this Spirit. And our hope is, we don't put our hope in our leadership. We don't put our hope in what we accomplish. But we put our hope in Jesus, that he will work through us by his Spirit. We don't see all things under the reign of Christ. We don't even see ourselves under the reign of Christ. But we do believe that the Lord has anointed Jesus as King. We do believe it. And with that hope, we look for shoots. For small shoots of Jesus' reign in this world. We also look for great big trees that just shout, Christ is King. And with eyes of hope, we look ahead. We look forward to the day that when Christ will come back and Christ will establish his reign on this earth, and every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray together. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that by your Spirit you would open our eyes to see shoots. We pray that you would open our eyes to see great flourishing trees, that we might see Jesus in his glory and in his reign. Fill us with hope in him. Give us a firm and solid hope. And inspire us to be Christians, little Christs, anointed ones, that we might participate in your reign. And give us inspiration as we look for your coming. And until you come again, we praise you and give you all glory as our King. In Jesus' name, amen.